Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Sabres win last night. Thursday night football on the way, Jeremy and Joe.
I had the under last night.
Congratulations.
5.5. What a joke.
That's funny.
12 goals. Let's go.
See, I'm in a spot where this morning to start the show, the old phrase, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Like,
okay.
That doesn't really work in this job.
No,
it's tough.
It doesn't.
It's tough to do.
Yeah,
it's tough. And I might be proving how jaded of a fan I might be after last night's win.
Okay.
Because
it's not real? Or not it's not real, but it's not something that you're going to see a lot probably from them?
No, let's start with the good first. I don't want to Debbie Downer this thing yet.
Okay.
I don't want to do that. I was looking up a couple games of the past, moments I remember, great moments in the Sabres have figured it out, you know, that kind of stuff. So, whatever, they won. They look great, right?
Yeah.
They look great?
Oh, I certainly don't think they figured it out.
Okay, all right. Well,
but it was
fun. Goals are fun.
Like, yeah, right. It was a little throwback to the 22-23 Sabres. That's what last night felt like. Emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, giving up two from 5-2 to 5-4 in about a minute.
Uh-oh. Like, I thought this was cruise control, and now we might have to claw our way back. And then, bam, bam, back-to-back goals.
Yeah, at 5-4, I wondered, boy, is somebody going to get fired after having a 5-2 lead at home against Ottawa?
Didn't everybody that watches this team think, okay, this is we've seen this movie before. This is going to end poorly for us. It's 5-4 after like 3 minutes.
It's hard to give up 3-goal leads at home in the third period. So.
Right.
Yeah, but they got
a properly executed timeout, I must say.
Okay, yep.
I mean, it's tough to argue. They scored 17 seconds after the timeout. So it was just a fun game. Anything.
Yeah.
Anything to keep me going.
Goals.
For just a little bit longer. Goals a win.
Goals help. Everything.
Something about Ottawa always lights a fire under me that just... It never happens between games. Like, I don't just carry around Ottawa hate. And then once a game begins, like, the stupid Senators. Beat the stupid... That's probably residual from childhood.
Maybe. It might also be...
Even in those dumb uniforms they were wearing last night that you couldn't see the numbers on.
All right, on the uniforms. I think those uniforms are a great example of one of them looks good up close holding it.
Yeah.
And them on the ice doesn't look great.
Yeah,
I thought the same thing. When the broadcast started last night, I popped the game on, I think, like they looked like the Flames or the Ducks orange jerseys. Did not like them. Then when they zoomed in, I thought, I would buy that jersey. I like that jersey.
Did you actually hear the interaction that Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray had on the broadcast last night about them?
Mm-mm.
I think it was late. Like maybe there was only like 2 minutes left in the game. So like it was just like, let's get this thing to the garage. And Rob said about the jerseys, and Rob's between the benches last night.
Yeah.
Rob says... Like, I really like these Ottawa jerseys. Like, they really pop.
And Dan's like, I can't see anything.
Dan's like, they don't pop from up here.
That's right, yeah.
They literally had this conversation last night.
Yeah.
And it was because one of them was further away than the other was.
Yep. Yeah, the Bills, rivalry uniforms might be like this. I love one individually, and then as a group, I think, maybe not. Sometimes a jersey looks great in, you know, on a mannequin with a visor on it, and then you put it on the field and you think, well, maybe not. Anyway, I didn't mind the Ottawa jerseys last night.
White at home, though, is nice.
White at home.
That's the real winner.
Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise, what would Ottawa have been? Just a regular old white team with red and black. Instead, we got to see their new uniforms.
Right.
That's kind of nice.
Is that where they debuted them? They debuted them here?
I don't know. That's their third jersey, though.
Who debuts a jersey on the road? Well, if that is what they did, I'm not sure.
Maybe the arithmetic is there. Hey, we're playing Buffalo.
Yeah.
A lot of people will tune in thinking we're going to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm take my wins where I could get them. I do not think that they are fixed. I do not suddenly think they're going to go on a tear here. Maybe it could happen. I don't think really any differently about what they should do in the front office after last night's game. All that gets put at bay, I guess, for 24 hours, they'll play till Saturday, so I guess 72 Saturday. Hours.
Yeah.
I'm taking my wins where I could get them, and I love watching Zach Benson play hockey. And bam, he's back in the lineup, and it's four assists, and the top
four
line looks
assists.
Great. I said he could get 70 in a season one day.
You did.
He's well on pace for that.
He's on pace for 160? No, wait, sorry.
No, more than that.
No, less than that.
I won't even count. He didn't. So 79, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because he missed a couple games.
Sorry, we're not counting the team's games. We're counting his games.
His
games.
So if he played every game from here to the rest of the year, he's on pace for 316 assists.
Under. I'll take the under.
Let's go.
Although if he gets 316 assists, I think they might make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Going to need some saves.
If he scored zero goals and had 316 assists, he'd win the MVP?
Yes.
Yeah, he would.
Yes.
Without a goal.
I want to immediately check to see what the leading team in the NHL scored last year. Like, what was the top?
Oh.
Like, it was 316?
Yeah, I'm sure someone scored more than that. Yeah.
Leading the league?
No.
No. Tampa led the league with 305 goals last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So 316 assists. This is hard-hitting analysis. You're getting it from us. 316 assists would be more assists than any team scored goals last year. So I think MVP conversation.
MVP. Conversation.
Conversation.
At the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd have to. Well, it depends. Because if Tage scored 290 of those goals, all of a sudden, now you have two players that are too good.
And one of the most hotly contested MVP debates of all time, maybe.
That's right. The guy that set him up or the guy that scored him.
Right. But I love watching him play.
That is a fun conversation.
He is valuable, and man, Doan on the second line is looking good to start the year. I don't know if that'll last.
That does look good.
They've got a dog on the first line. They got a dog on the second line. And I could use some more scorers, but I feel like that's going well with Doan so far, and I just would expect Benson is going to perform well. And if the numbers come with it, even better, because that was the only thing missing before.
You know who else was one of their better players by the numbers last night? Was Kulik.
Yeah. Lindy, though, wasn't having that totally in postgame. Like, he got asked, like, better game from Kulik? He was like, better. He was like, I still want to see him skating more. There were a few – like, he kind of went in on where he thought, like, he still wasn't fully doing what we're asking him to do.
Yeah, well.
But if the numbers were good, improvement, I guess.
Maybe I checked
He started the game on the fourth line.
Right.
He played, like, a period and a half with Malenstein. Like, I guess any good numbers, I guess, is a good sign.
No, sorry. Maybe I checked it, like, at the end of one or the end of two. Because I was looking in on Natural Stat Trick and Money Puck, but I guess he did not have whatever. He was outshot. So I don't know when I checked that. Doan, you like Doan. You like Zucker. I mean, the Sabres in this game.
Yeah, shots when he was on the ice were 8-1 in favor of Ottawa.
Yeah. The Sabres in this game were getting dominated. And then scored a shorthanded goal.
Yes.
And opened the floodgates from there.
Yeah.
But they were getting dominated again.
It was like the same as the first two games where I think it was 14-3 were shots.
Yeah, in that moment I thought, is this team going to finish in last? You just can't play every game getting beat 18-3 on the shot chart.
Right.
That's a recipe. That is a Tim Murray special. If we go back to the Tim Murray years, and of course the tank years, like how are they constructed? To get outshot by 100 every night. That's how they were constructed.
Yeah.
And they did it. So anyway, they win 8-4, and they needed it.
I mean, that was a huge goal. I mean, it really very easily could have gone very much in the other direction.
Yep. The power play got off the schneid by hitting it off the glass, off the goalie and in.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah. That works, I guess.
It works.
You missed the net so bad that it ripped off the net and back in. Yeah, 3-for-3 in the power play.
three for three?
It was 3 for 3 that corrected that. I saw 3 for 2 all night. I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
3 for 2? It wasn't 3 for 2, I guess.
You could go 3 for 2 if there was a major penalty.
Yeah, you could.
Right?
Yeah. I guess I thought there was like a double minor during that scrum in the second, but apparently not. But yeah, they scored on every power play they had. Two of them, even, you could say, were lucky, right? Like, Zucker, it goes off his arm or his chest or whatever. But whatever, I'll take those where they come. Zucker beats a goalie clean, and I don't know how many times that's going to happen with a player one-on-one this season. So yeah, like, there are qualifiers. The qualifiers are you were getting badly outplayed at the beginning. You were playing a backup goaltender. I don't know, maybe that's the worst goalie in the league this year. We'll see. But
he's played 15 career games.
But I'm inclined to run with the positive today because I don't know how much. Take it while it's here because I really don't know how much of it there will be this season.
Yeah, take it. There's also probably if you went back and looked in the year that they missed the playoffs by a point with Granato, I bet they beat a lot of backup goalies.
I think that was part of that.
But they probably did. Which, yeah. If they were to break their drought, end the drought, and you know, you get the however many points you need. You need 97 points, and they get 37 against backup goalies. Like, okay. Fine.
Right, whatever.
Get in. I'd imagine that lots of teams that finish around like 8th and 9th get backups more often than the guys that finish in 1 and 2 in those spots. So, you know, they checked a bunch of boxes. Power play finally got one. The good news is they get to feel better about themselves. And, man, if there's one thing I need that team to do right now, it's to feel better about themselves because it's game 3 post-game, and Tage is saying, like, I don't want to talk about the past. And I feel like I want to defend him and say he shouldn't have to. It's not his fault. It's not their fault. Not really any individual player's fault. So good for them to get it done and to feel better about themselves. 803-0550 if you want to join us in 1-888-550-2550. We will recap the game with Paul at 8 o'clock and along the way get you ready for the Icy Hot Bowl tonight.
Yes.
The Steelers and the Bengals with Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco.
I heard a good joke that actually the teams asked for the game to be moved up to 4 o'clock.
Funny.
Because of the two, how old the two quarterbacks are.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's not the oldest quarterback matchup in NFL history, though.
That's got to be a Brady game?
It's a Brady game.
That's Brady and, let me think about that for a minute. Let me get to Marty and West Seneca. Let me think about that, who Brady would have played in his final year. Marty, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're good. We're good.
Now, are those primary assists or secondary assists?
For who? For Benson?
Yeah.
I thought it was 2 and 2, but I'll check.
Yeah, and that's why I disagree with secondary assists. Because a goalie can pass it up to, say, you, and then you pass it up to me, and I go down and score.
Sure, but his first secondary assist was him racing to keep a puck in on the power play, barely doing it, and then getting it down the wall. You don't think that was worth an assist?
I disagree with, like, two assists on a goal. It should be one.
Gotcha.
Just in general.
Just conceptually, you think you shouldn't do two assists.
Yeah, conceptually,
sure.
Because that's how they pad their numbers.
Well, I mean, Wayne Gretzky did that, too.
Oh, yeah, he did it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many times, a lot.
Yep.
And I disagree with, like, a lot of things, how, like, a little bit of football.
All right.
Okay, Josh Allen throws the ball out into the flat. It doesn't go past the line of scrimmage, but the player who catches the ball runs for 15 yards. Why does the quarterback get credit for 15 yards?
Because he threw a pass.
He threw 15 yards.
Yeah, well, I mean, because he threw a pass and the play went 15 yards. And because football is...
But he didn't even throw it past the line of scrimmage.
That's right. Well, we do have advanced...
We have air yards
We
now.
Have advanced stats now that can... you can chart air yards and decide if you like that.
Well, I don't know how to chart that. That's beyond my realm.
That's all right, Marty.
You want air yards on the screen instead of passing yards.
Other people are charting that.
That's what it sounds
There's
like you
There's only
want.
One statistic that matters.
Uh-oh. Wins.
The final score. That's
right.
All that matters. I don't care what Joe Smith got for reception or running yardage. Final score is the only thing that matters.
Yeah, all right. That's
just my perception.
All right, thanks, Marty. Final score, 8-4.
I don't even mind, you know, they're not going to do it, but you want to take away secondary assists in the NHL? Fine.
No, they would never do it.
No, they will never do it.
I've never thought, I mean, I probably have thought it, but
I look at those numbers sometimes.
It definitely matters. The leaders in primary assists are the best players in the sport.
Like Benson, by the way, was one primary and three secondary last night. Again, though, I'll argue the one secondary was like critical. Like that puck to get to it and then get it back down the wall. Like that play happens because he got there. Yeah. That was the second Zucker goal, I think.
Here's a let's get stupid kind First of question one. For anybody out there. Any hockey historian that knows the answer to this?
Yeah.
Why do we have secondary assists? Should I know that? Owen, do you know why? Should we know why? Is it so defensemen get points too?
Because goalies get points too?
I love that goalies get points too, because I would win a bet with my dad every year that I'd get a point and I'd get $100.
Not many primary goalie assists out there.
Not a lot. No.
Not
a lot.
No, that doesn't happen often. I will look into that, though. I'm curious if there's like an explanation to why there's also a secondary assist. That's interesting.
You want to get rid of secondary assists and what? You want to just make pass yards, air yards? In general, so if I look up a quarterback's passing yards, I'm no longer going to look at. It's going to show me the air yards.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because you may have seen, and maybe this happened last year too, and over the last couple of years, when Mahomes would do that and throw it 3 yards and then somebody would run far, Bills fans would get mad and say like he's not even doing anything. And then of course the Bills offense changed to that kind of offense, and it's like I don't know. You got to kind of pick. The thing about that is playing quarterback. What's the job? The job is to get it to a player that can gain yards.
Yeah.
And if that's throwing it 10 yards for a 10-yard gain or throwing it 3 yards for a 60-yard gain, what's the right decision as the quarterback? Throw it 3 yards to see a guy in space. I mean, if you really wanted to dig far enough into assists, why in basketball do I get an assist when I pass it to an open guy who's uncovered who decides to pull up and shoot?
You don't even know. The subjectivity that there is in the NBA with that stuff and how different arenas do different things, it's ridiculous.
Right. Do I get an assist on that? Like, congratulations, I have Steph Curry over there raining threes. I just keep passing it to him on the night with 10 assists.
Right. You'll give a guy an assist who, like, passed the ball 35 seconds ago. It's just, like, yeah, it's nuts.
So the first thing I found looking into why secondary assists matter is it represents the teamwork. Like it helps you understand who else has been on the ice for these goals. Like, you know, we've done that with plus minus over the years.
Yeah.
Whatever. I've never had a major issue with it.
I mean, that's a lot of the advancement. Like, if you look up a player's expected goals, that's like it's what the team is doing while they're on the ice.
Yeah.
You could look at their individual stuff for that, but like a lot of those advanced numbers are like this is what happens when he's out there. Not necessarily like, you know, it's supposed to tell you what he's impacting, but it could be that his teammates are carrying the load and the guy's doing nothing.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if you went to last year's NHL primary assist standings, you would find all of the best players.
Yeah, McDavid and McKinnon and
Michael.
You would find the best players.
You'd find the guys that pass the puck, the guys that score.
Yeah.
And the good news is I don't know how many people are getting fooled by that. It was last night, is Marty's case here, that Zach Benson didn't really have like a four-point night, didn't have your traditional four-point night. If you want that, I guess you could say it. If you really wanted to pick apart what the Sabres did last night, they played a goalie who was terrible.
They did play a goalie
who was terrible. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, if Ullmark's in goal, part of why I bet the under in the first place, I thought Ullmark was going to be in goal, and then he ended up not being in goal.
Yeah,
because he's great, and this backup is new, so like he could be anything. Yeah,
they played a goalie who, like, the goals above expected for the Sabres was, I think, 4.
I saw they were 4.1 on the night total.
For expected goals?
And for the Sabres.
And they scored 7. They scored 7 on the goalie. So
3, but that's a lot.
That's right. 3 goals above expected.
That is a lot.
They had scored 2 on the season prior to that. So anyway.
By the way, I found that from 1930 to 1936, they actually gave out 3 assists.
Wow.
You find that?
Bring back the third assist.
The third assist.
And then in 1945, they went to 1 assist per goal.
So they did try that.
And then went back because everybody was very upset about it.
They decided to give out that participation trophy again. Nice. Huh?
Did they go retroactively give the guys all their secondary assists from 1945?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Feels like that would have been only fair.
Yeah.
They deserve it.
When they started giving out sacks in the NFL, did they split sacks right off the bat, or did they go just full sacks? Because at one point they didn't track sacks. Now, of course, we know.
Right.
So did you split sacks in the first year they tracked sacks? These are questions you could look up
Let me put it this way. If you were reinventing these sports, how would you do it? You're inventing football right now. How would you mark down passing yards?
exactly how they do it.
There's no history behind it. You would do it exactly how they do it?
Yes.
Because I think I might do it by air yards if I were reinventing it. If you're reinventing hockey, would you include two assists or one?
I don't care. I have no problem with how they do it. Right. Fine, two. Now I sound like the old guy that just doesn't want to change.
Yeah, but in this, you don't know that there was
that's right.
a history before in this hypothetical. I brought out that little stick from Men in Black and erased all your sports memory.
If I was inventing hockey today, what would I do? When you come to me and say, should we be able to challenge offside goals? I'd punch you in the face and say no, and I would start there.
Well, that reminds me. We should find that clip about Roger Goodell talking about AI officiating in a little bit.
I don't know anything about that, but I'm excited to hear it.
Yep.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And Ottawa will bring it back. 7 minutes as they get to center remaining in the third. Dylan Cousins with a shot. Glove high, and Alex Lyon just waves at it and snares that out of the air.
Hey, a great save from Alex Lyon on former Sabre Dylan Cousins. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton filling in. The show today brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Paul, Dylan Cousins getting an assist yesterday and had a really nice rush that I remember early in the game in the first period. But, you know, other than that, Cousins seems to have kind of found himself again with Ottawa and has been a little bit more of the player that he kind of was in his earlier time when he was finding the success before getting his face beaten in by Garnet Hathaway that one game against the Flyers. But I don't know.
Only the beginning. That went away.
Yeah. I mean,
And it hasn't been this year. I mean, he was -3 last night. He's -7 on the year already.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you, just I don't know how much you've seen of Cousins in a Senator's uniform to provide any sort of thoughts in terms of his play there.
Again, it's very shaky defensively. Can add the odd goal, but still, I think, struggling. When he first got there, I think there was the adrenaline and things were going great and the fans were really excited and everybody was wild. But he pretty much, from anything I've seen from the end of last year and into, especially in the playoffs and into this year, nothing really has changed.
Yeah, I mean, nothing stood out really, other than just maybe the couple flashy plays that Cousins was able to pull off. And I don't know. The trade itself still looks really rough because of the injury concerns with Norris once again.
Well, right now, if Norris can never get himself to a place where he can play healthy, I mean, the trade is Cousins and a second round pick to Ottawa for nothing.
Yeah.
That's basically what it amounts to.
Yeah, that in today's terms and in the NHL, Paul, nothing is future considerations. And
I mean, they just let Bernard Docker go. They didn't qualify him.
Yeah.
And if Norris can't get over injuries and never really plays for the Sabres, And Gilbert's gone from Ottawa.
Yep.
He just got sent down to the minors.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that's what the trade reads right now. That's what the trade would wind up being. Cousins in a second-round pick for nothing.
It's a great trade-off. It's a great trade-off, but we'll save that discussion.
But who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen players who have often been injured and all of a sudden, you know, figure it out. And I mean, Alex Tuch played 82 games for the first time, you know, so it's not like it can't be done.
No, obviously, yeah, it can be done. It's, Paul, I don't know how much you read my bold predictions article on our website before the home opener and the season opener, but one of my bold predictions was Josh Norris would stay healthy and be the team's leading scorer this season, and that aged very much like a gallon of milk.
Well, as you know, I do a goal pool, and it's briefly, it's 26 guys are drafting, so we have six rounds. Since there's 26 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we got to the fourth round, and I thought, Josh Norris might be a pretty good value in the fourth round here. You know, if he stays healthy, I think it's a guaranteed 30 goals.
Mm.
It could be a bust pick or it could be just a great pick. And obviously it has turned into not too well. Now, I did take Shane Pinto with my sixth round pick, which was my last pick. And he scored five so far, so I did get that. But, I was thinking kind of the same thing that, you know, Norris had a good off season, and even if he plays 65 games or 70, I still might get 30 out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, the year he scored 35 goals, he didn't even get to 70 games.
Right.
So that's kind of what my thinking was there, having him sitting there in the fourth round. So I took him, and, you know. Oh, well.
By the way, Paul, saw this stat earlier this morning where in the last five games against Ottawa, Buffalo is 5-0, and they've scored 25 goals for, only 9 goals against given up. They're, I think, a little over 41% on the power play and 85% on the penalty kill. they've had some good success against Ottawa in recent games.
Yeah, I knew they had a winning streak against them and extended that. I didn't know the exact statistics of it.
Yeah, I saw that earlier, and I was just like, ooh, yeah. And Ottawa, and hey, those are the teams that you should win against, is the Ottawa's, the teams that were in the playoffs last year. They were terrible against Montreal last year, and it cost them in more ways than not. But it was certainly helpful for Montreal. But if they can find ways to be more competitive and get a win against your division, your conference rivals here and there, you never know, man. Like, I mean, if they win on Saturday against Florida, I think the discussion really turns around to, okay, maybe we're starting to get things clicking together here. What kind of a run can they put together to get themselves into a spot where they're staying in playoff contention and finding ways to not let that out of their grasp?
Well, I don't think they have to spend time figuring out who do they got to get past. I think they have to figure out what point total gets you in.
Yeah.
For sure. And get to that point total.
Yep.
And then worry about the rest of it. Let the other teams figure out who's not going to make the playoffs.
Right.
Who's not going to get by you. But figure out, all right, 100 points. If we get 100 points, we're going to be in.
Yeah.
And then they can all figure out who's not going to be in. Or is it 97? Or whatever that figure is. That's what you have to shoot for. And then let the chips fall where they may. You just don't know who's going to get in, who's not, who's going to overperform, who's going to underperform. That will all figure itself out. If you do your job and you do your part, you don't have to worry about who else does their part.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a stretch here of the next five games against division rivals, Florida, Montreal, Detroit, two games against Toronto, and then you have six out of seven games coming up against conference or against division rivals. You got Boston in there, and only a game against Columbus mixed in. And man, if they can string together four wins in that stretch, I think the Sabres will actually be sitting relatively okay by the end of the month.
Yeah, they had to have a good month, and they've already had three losses in the month. Can't change it. Tage Thompson's right. There's no point in looking back.
Yep.
It's time to look forward. And if you can get out of the month, I guess you could say with four losses. Now, I mean, I was thinking a 2 or 3 month lost month is what kind of they needed, and mm-hmm. that's already out the window unless they sweep the rest of the month.
That would be tough to do.
Yeah, with their schedule and everything, I thought, yeah, you know, if you start off well and you're as good as you think you are and you've improved as much as you think you have, it's not unreasonable to think you couldn't get through this month with, you know, 2 or 3 losses, maybe a loser point mixed in.
If the Sabres can go 4-2-1, Paul, would you take that?
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would too, 100%.
Lindy Ruff wants 6 points in every 6 points out of every 5 games, which is 10 possible points. He says, in order to make the playoffs, you got to get 6. He goes, we've already failed in the first 5 games. We can't get to 6. But he goes, you can also make it up. He goes, you're going to have times where maybe you're going to get 9 out of 10 points. So you can make up for this week or this month, or this stretch, rather, where you didn't get 6 points out of 10 because right now you can't. So that's the way he's looking at it. It's like, okay, maybe in the first stretch we didn't get it. But there are also going to be stretches when we get 8 or 9 points out of 10. And, you know, that. So, but he thinks on the average, so he's playing the points game too. On the average, if you go through the season and get 6 out of every 10 points, you will make the playoffs.
803-0551, 888-552-5550 are the numbers here if you want to join us. Are you back on the bandwagon for the Sabres after last night's win? Has the win last night instilled any confidence in you going forward, or do you feel that you need to see more from the team? Heading out to the phone lines, Adam in Hamburg. Good morning, Adam. You're on the line. Go right ahead. Hello, Adam.
For the team.
Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Thanks for everything you guys do to cover the team. Long-time fan here. I was in the building for Game 7 of the Cup Finals in 99. I was in the building for Game 7 in Carolina in 06. This used to be a very proud franchise that won over 60% of our games. In the Pegula era, that's not the case. We're about a 40% winning team under Pegula. And it's a real shame. What I wanted to say in my comments was this is the same front office that couldn't keep Jack Eichel because he wanted to get a disc replacement surgery.
That's not true. That's not true. Let's stop right there. That's not true.
Well, yes, it is true.
No, it's not true. He asked to be traded before the surgery thing ever came up.
The GM doesn't have to trade a player just because they request a trade.
I'm just saying that's what he did. Is he asked to be traded.
Okay, that doesn't mean the general manager had to trade him. And then
try using Jack Eichel when he doesn't want to be here. Try see how that works out for you.
The Packers had Aaron Rodgers for 4 years.
See how that works out for you. Don't trade Jack Eichel when he doesn't want to play. See how that works out for you.
Aaron Rodgers won 2 MVPs.
I don't care what Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking about Jack Eichel. I'm not talking about Aaron Rodgers. Try doing that with Jack Eichel. Try doing that with Jack Eichel. Just try doing that with him. It ain't gonna work.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Some other reaction that has come up on Twitter with terms of whether or not some fans are back on the bandwagon. Adam says fully back on the bandwagon, which, you know, maybe the eternal optimist there. Mark adds, it added some brightness to what was doom and gloom. We still need to see this team string together wins, which we have not seen in so long. Rob also adding in, I'm happy that they played well, but let's not overlook the fact that the Senators put out a backup goalie and was missing their team captain, which we talked a little bit about earlier, Paul. I mean, yeah, it hurts that they don't have Brady Tkachuk, and I'm not sure if Brady Tkachuk would have made much more of a difference in this game. But you know, Marilainen is a fairly good backup goaltender in his little action that he has shown. Maybe he regresses, but I think there is a little bit that you can look at from yesterday and have some optimistic viewpoints with seeing the Eichel outburst. But yeah, you obviously take it with a grain of salt because through the first 3 games, it's just like, okay, there was a lot from that stretch where bad habits, and you got to break out of those bad habits. Now you just got to string it together and prove to everyone that, you know, this isn't what we are going to see from this team going forward.
Oh, exactly. You know, that's what they have to do. And it'll be interesting to see. moving forward now, you know, where they're at, where their heads are at. You know, does this snap them out of it? Or, you know, I think it's a good test. I think maybe it's a pretty good thing that they're playing Florida on Saturday. You know, have a good test in front of them after having a good game. You know, you get a day off, you get a good day of practice, and then the Florida Panthers walk in here. And, yes, I know they're injured, but they're still a good team.
Yeah,
you know, they still have players that can hurt you, and they're a good team, and they're a heavy team. And so I think this is going to be a good test for them.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Second straight day, Zach Benson is a lead item for us on Sabres Line. Yesterday, it was about his return to the Sabres lineup, and now it's about a triumphant return amidst Buffalo's first victory of the year. 8-4 over Ottawa, a late-night scoring change allows Benson to share some company with Pierre Turgeon as the two youngest four-assist guys in Sabres history.
What is going on with that? Like, waking up in the morning and all of a sudden we have, are we redoing our Lexus leader from last night? Because Benson now has four assists. Thought Doan had a fantastic game, but it was between kind of Benson and Doan for the impact on the game. We're not going to redo last night's post game, but good on Benson. I felt like that brought some energy, especially in the second period where the game could have changed and turned the other way. The penalty kill, the McLeod goal, you know, some really, really strong play on the wall at the blue line to keep the puck in on the Zucker power play goal. So good on Benson. He gets rewarded because they watched the video and they said, for his hard work, we'll give him an extra assist.
And Buffalo is now one of 19 teams in the NHL to have an empty net goal. To their credit.
Yes.
And you know where I stand on empty netters.
And for winners.
For winners. And if you do so at least 20 times in a season, you all but guarantee yourself a playoff spot. So 19 more and Buffalo will be in fine shape, in my opinion.
So this is interesting because we're seeing a lot of double empty net goals in games, right?
Yep.
And so is this 20 goals or 20 games with an empty net goals? Because it could be a different thing. Like
it could be, but I tend to just stick to the 20 goal total. But you're right. Detroit had two last night in their win over Florida. That's the next opponent for Buffalo on Saturday. But let's dive in a little deeper on the game, especially from the particulars who were involved in it. I mean, there were eight multi-point scorers. There were 13 total players that found the score sheet for Buffalo. But it was where and when that, you know, that happened on the score sheet that the game kind of changed. And from Doan's standpoint, it was really interesting because they found themselves down 2-1. They failed on the challenge for goaltender interference. But it seems like when you listen to Josh, that there was absolute confidence in that situation despite being down a goal.
I don't know if we have the clip. I can't hear it. So I will just, you're right, Duffer. Like, look, Josh Doan talks about the special teams. I'll say this, okay? So when the first power play happened in the game and Rasmus Dahlin took a couple of shots from the middle of the ice on the power play, Duffer, mm-hmm. I wrote it down on my sheet and I was like, this may change the fate of the power play. What is something I've talked about on the power play in the first three games? That shot from the middle. Very first power play, boom, puck back to the point, shot from the middle. Mm-hmm. Zucker was off to the side a little bit, so Marilainen made a glove save. But a couple of shots from the middle of Dahlin, it changes things. Yes, they got a good bounce on Quinn, but you're right. Like, Doan talks about the power play.
No, the penalty kill, Marty. That's
the penalty kill, the special teams,
because
right?
That's what it is.
They
felt that the challenge was fine, whether they were going to lose it or not, because how the penalty kill's been going. And then it ends up kind of opening the floodgates for them, ironically.
It was 13 for 13 after the first period, technically, in the season. And yes, they give up a goal that made it 2-1, a power play goal. That was the first power play goal the Sabres have given up all year, the only power play goal they've given up all year. And Lindy Ruff challenged it, and I felt like it was a really good challenge. Number one, it's early in the second period. You know what? Like, there's still a lot of hockey left. Number two, Ridly Gregg goes in like a madman, recklessly into the crease, makes contact with Alex Lyon. Bo Byram grabs him by the neck, pulls him out of there. But by that point, the contact's already happened. There has to be a grace period after the fact of a continuous play. And then the puck is there. Jake Sanderson comes in and pokes it in, and it barely goes over the line. But I thought it was a good challenge because I felt like they had an argument. Now, the league didn't see it that way. And the league, we've talked about it earlier on this week on the, you know, on the coach's challenge and some of the different calls I would have made. And so I would have gone the other way on that one, but that's fine. Your penalty kill has been really good. And Lindy Ruff had full confidence in it. And it actually led to some energy because McLeod and Benson were flying on that penalty kill up the ice. They get the shorthanded goal. There was some energy driven from the challenge. And Lindelof saying, guys, I'm with you. Let's go. Like, I trust you guys and we'll get it done.
Well, they got more emotional after the Tuck penalty too, right? Like, that's the thing. The hole got deeper based on the brief 3-on-5 situation they were facing. And then it turned from there. So I think the moral of the story is more emotion, which is kind of what the coach was seeking all along, right?
Yeah. I mean, even when Alex Tuck got this penalty, look, do I think it's a penalty? Yeah, he came down pretty hard. Was it a little bit of David Perron lifting his stick at the same time? Yeah, the stick broke. So the referee, that's an easy call. Mm-hmm. But Tucky was mad. The bench was upset. And you can have negative energy, and that we've seen a lot of negative energy. You're 0-3. You're down 2-1. You're going on a 10-second 5-on-3. You failed. You missed a challenge. It could have been negative energy. It wasn't. So let's give him credit for that. Let's give him credit for spinning some negative energy. The king of negative energy is Jordan Binnington. And Jordan Binnington shows negative energy all the time. But I heard him talk this summer in an interview about how with age, with experience, with maturity, he's able now to, at times, turn the negative energy into positive energy and get himself going in a positive way. Now, sometimes he loses his mind. And that's going to happen. And sometimes the Sabres and Lindy Ruff, and they may have negative energy and just go down the path of negative energy. But they were able to flip it to positive energy, which was great. Ottawa, they got a little negative energy, and they kind of went down that way. They had a push early in the third, but they kind of went down. Man, they're giving up a ton of goals, right? And it's not just their team play. I feel like goaltending is struggle now for them in the start of the season with their efficiency and making the key saves at key moments. The Sabres took advantage of that.
Yeah, Ottawa's given up 18 in the last three games, all of them losses, obviously, but there were a couple of empty netters by Nashville in there.
Yes.
And Ottawa, by the way, has to return home to face a resting and ready Seattle team that is off to a 2-0-1 start amidst an 11-game NHL schedule tonight, of which we'll talk about more.
They can score too. Seattle can score. They've got guys that have shown up at the start of the year.
Yeah, I mean, historically, Seattle has shown us flashes where they go on runs, where they look like an incredibly balanced team. And then, you know, based on the number of coaches they've had, they clearly don't sustain that. But there are 11 games in the NHL tonight and endless stories. That's why Darren Dreger, our hockey insider from TSN, will join us at the bottom of the hour. More from last night and from the standpoint of not only Benson coming in, but do you feel like Doan had three assists, Benson had four, again, multi-goal scorers. Do you think they found something, anything, when it came to pairs or line combinations last night?
Well, the interesting thing is that early in the second period, when really the Sabres got themselves going, while they lost Danforth to an injury, lower body injury, after two shifts in the second period, they lost Malenstein for the major, like the probably the second half of the second period. He came back in the third, and they played with four and a half defensemen. Like when you look at the ice time, they really used Power, Timmins, Dahlin, and Bryson. They were the four that had a lot of ice time. Like Byron.
Yeah,
Bryson was a little behind, and Ryan Johnson was a lot behind. So. They really went with four defensemen and a mix and match of the forward groupings because they were missing. But I do feel that maybe in this situation, I wouldn't say all the time, like shorten your bench, go to 4D, go to three lines. But in this situation, it was good. Why? Because there was a message sent by Lindy Ruff to his team, like to Yuri Kulik and to the rest of the team, that it's not good enough. It has to be better. And so if you're a player, if you're Tage Thompson or Alex Tuch or Ryan McLeod or Jason Zucker or Don or whoever, and the coach is challenging the room, you want the opportunity to go out on the ice as much as possible to go out and really be able to make a difference. Now, the funny thing is Josh Doan didn't play a shift for the first 10 minutes of the second period. And it's not because he was being benched. It's because there was special teams, and it was penalty kill over penalty kill and penalty kill again, and he didn't see the ice. But when he got an opportunity to go on the ice middle of the second period, he made it count. So some guys played a ton. Some guys didn't play as much. The rhythm was really weird. But I felt like that maybe is a positive, again, for Lindy Ruff, saying this was not a typical one, two, three, four, let's roll the lines, let's go. Right. There was a lot of mix and match, and the guys responded with the mix and match.
Right, and a reasonable assumption would be it's going to need to be more of a four-line game against Florida on Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. Now, the Panthers have lost two in a row after falling to Detroit 4-1, two empty net goals for the Wings, so it was really tied up until 2 minutes left. But Florida's in action against New Jersey tonight, so it's, you know... it'll be what, in your mind, not to spend too much time on it, but like what will be the biggest thing on the heels of first win and eight goals and the reality that Florida and Ottawa are completely different? What's the one big thing for Saturday?
Well, the one big thing is speed, and which we saw, and we saw in the second period. Listen, if you were to turn the TV off after the first period last night, the Sabres had zero shots at 5-on-5. They only had three shots, and that was the three power play shots. And one of them was not really technically a shot. Jack Quinn missed the net and hit the goalie in the back and went in. And you probably turned it off saying, ugh, that was not really the way it goes. The last 40 was great, but it was because of speed. It was because of the skating. And that's the number one thing the Sabres have to take in against Florida. The rush chances all of a sudden happen again. You're creating 3-on-2s, 2-on-1s, guys going down the wall, the wing with speed. That or guys on the forecheck creating turnovers. That was speed. That was skating. Take that against Florida. Florida doesn't have Matthew Tkachuk now, doesn't have Barkov. They don't have Kulikov. Like, they're banged up, too. Ottawa was banged up without Brady Tkachuk and playing Livy Merilainen in that, but Florida's banged up, too. So you come at them with speed, and you're going to get the opportunities you were able to earn last night against Ottawa.
They only play the Senators three times this year, so just two to go. That might be unfortunate news for the likes of Ryan McLeod, who's been really good against Ottawa the last season and a bit, and Jack Quinn, too. So Jack's now 28 away from your projection, 30-goal scorer.
On pace for what? He's got 2 in 4 games, so he's on pace for 40?
It's a good – I mean, you're feeling good about it. But
I'm feeling – that's what one game does, though. One game changes the expectations a little bit.
But in all seriousness, what does it mean for Quinn? Because of what you've been seeing and what you need to see.
You know, remember, so was it last year, Quinn was struggling to score and then he got an empty netter. And I said, you know what, sometimes an empty net goal is it's fun to see that one in that goal column, and the empty net is going to get you going. And it didn't take off. It took a lot longer. That first goal yesterday is one of those where you're given a gift. It's a good bounce. It's a gift. What I love is the confidence that I saw in the second goal. Mm-hmm. So it didn't take 4, 5, 6 games to see the flash that we know Jack Quinn can have. When he took that puck from Krebs on that 2-on-1, the confidence to take it, he's got a great shot. He could have just defaulted to, I'm going to shoot and hope. No, he read the play well. He saw the goalie was late on coming across, that the left knee was already sliding down. If I go across grain, there's no way he can put an edge and come back with me. The confidence, right? So, yeah, I love that. The lines were different. Obviously, you know, Benson was back in the lineup. Mm-hmm. Kulik was on the fourth line. So there was a lot of changes in the line. But individually, I felt there was a lot of guys that played well, that showed well, and Quinn was one of them.
The player of the game bestowed the saber from the captain, Rasmus Dahlin, was Alex Lyon. A quick thought on him after his first win.
Well, the expected goals at the end of the night were 4.5 to 4.5. Now, it was 5.5 to 4.5 because of the empty net goal, which was, funny enough, the first shot was blocked, so it was a lot harder than what an empty net goal usually is. But yeah, it was an even chance type of game, quality chances. Mm-hmm. The model, when you look at the expected goals early in the second period, had one of those massive spike go trending up for the Ottawa Senators. They had a ton of chances. Yes. Pinto scores on that deflection. That was early in the third. Sorry. Yeah, Sanderson scored on the scramble. But before and after, there was multiple high danger scoring chances that Alex Lyon was really good on. And that's a reward. Look, I know Rasmus Dahlin gives Lyon the saber. You got Benson with now 4 assists, Doan with 3. You got guys with 2 goals. But that's a reward for Lyon for the first 3 games of the season and finally getting his first win in the fourth game, saying, you know what? You were the best player for us for the 3 losses, and we did not forget about it, and you were really good in this game, and we want to reward you with it.
Sabres are now 13th on the power play in the NHL.
Okay. Top 10, top 15. That's between 10 and 15, that's where you can see your power play was effective. The power play did something. Now, they were 3-for-3. I would love to say, hey, you know, could we have used one of those power play goals in the Rangers game? Could we have used one of those power play goals in the, the Pittsburgh game, in the Boston game, I should say? Yes, that would have been great because that would have made a difference. But, hey, we'll take them when they come.
So Buffalo next against Florida on Saturday. It is, of course, an afternoon game starting at 1. Mascot Madness we'll get into a little bit later on in the show after a really nice appearance from Sabretooth on our pregame show last night. Quickly, around the NHL.
Let's mention that Sabretooth, as clumsy, as big as he can be, is not as clumsy as I am, because what happened on the set yesterday? I have my little Coca-Cola, my little glass behind. Sabretooth comes in. He's able to avoid it. Now, Chrisanne, our boss, was quick to remove the Coca-Cola. As soon as we put it back, I knocked it with my foot and spilled it all over the floor. So, yes. Yeah, so, Sabretooth has cat-like reflexes and agility, despite his big size.
1-0 in home whites.
Yes. fantastic. And I did get a lot of reaction on social media from fans saying, both X and Instagram saying, hey, you know what? White's at home, that's the way it should be. I think there's a generation of people that remember the White's at home through the 80s and 90s was the thing. Mm-hmm. Although when we go back in the history of the NHL, number one, back in the days, they only had one jersey, mm-hmm. you know, and that was the darks. Like they were their darks. That's why the Rangers were called the Blue Shirts and whatever. That's what it was. Number two, when they ended up with a dark and a white, dark was at home. That's what they did. So, you know, that's what it was. But then they switch in, you know, in time they switch. I don't recall when exactly, but my generation, it was white at home. It looks so much better. Mm-hmm. It looks cleaner. And Ottawa got to feature their third jerseys, which I really liked, but it gave a different look on the ice. And I love whites at home so much better.
11 games tonight, three others last night. Real quick, anything dazzling or disturbing from Detroit and Florida? The Red Wings win for a third straight time despite Lucas Raymond remaining day-to-day with an upper body injury.
Okay. Well, the Red Wings offense, like I know they technically they scored four, but it was two empty netters. Mm-hmm. Patrick Kane's got two. Their power play, the Red Wings power play moves the puck really well. I didn't do my homework to know where Detroit is right now in the standings on the power play, but it seems like they've moved the puck well, and Patrick Kane got himself a goal on mm-hmm. the power play. That ends up being the game-winning goal. So that was, I think the Red Wings, got to keep an eye on them.
Their power play is sixth at 26.7.
So here you go. Dazzling power play for the Red Wings. It led to their power play goal. Because I'm going to pick a dazzling play out of this one, my disturbing play of the night, unfortunately, was Joel Ofer with the St. Louis Blues, their backup goalie, but he's been really good for them. The Blues get victimized, giving up 8 goals to Chicago last night, but it started bad. Ofer was behind the net, and he was trying to be like Kale McCarr by making a quick pass to the low center in the middle of the ice. And that went nowhere, and Ilya Mikheyev was rewarded with an empty net. So that's how it started for St. Louis against Chicago, and it didn't really go well. So that was disturbed, the Ofer giveaway on that goal.
Yeah, there's a lot to chew on there. Here's my this or that for you.
Yeah.
Higher percentage. Jake Neighbors shooting percentage so far, or Hofer's save percentage last night?
Wow. What's Neighbors at? He's got 4 goals?
Yeah, on 6 shots.
Okay, so I will say that Neighbors has a higher percentage. No,
Neighbors shooting percentage is 66.7.
Yeah.
Hofer's save percentage last night was 68.
So it's really close. That's
seven
a tough look.
22 shots. Yeah,
that's a really tough look. I mean, it's worse than the old John Tortorella 75% rule. That when you're below 75% Tortorella rule, mm-hmm. that's not good.
By the way, to put a bow on the Red Wings, Cam Talbot is 3-0. Gibson has yet to win.
Only had the one game, and it wasn't a good game. He didn't look good. And yes, and I still think Cam Talbot is a very capable goaltender. Now he's older, and you know this will be an interesting dynamic in Detroit. But for me, I look at Talbot. If he can stay healthy, he's their guy. He's their number one, despite the fact that they acquired a $6 million goalie in John Gibson in the offseason.
The Hawks have won 2 in a row. Calgary has lost 4 in a row as they fall in the Battle of the Coolies last night.
Yeah, and there was a Logan Cooley breakaway on Devin Cooley, and Devin Cooley was able to make the save. But unfortunately for Devin Cooley, after a 1-0 first period for the Flames, the Utah Mammoth were able to come on strong after that. And you know, the run support against Calgary is not really there.
Well, this is the thing, Marty, and this was the whole thing last year that prevented them from making the playoffs by an inch. They were historically low scoring for a team that was in contention. And now they've lost 4 in a row. So, like, what's their deal? What are they going to do?
Well, I feel like they have a Well, if you're looking at this year, you're probably not doing anything right now because you're saying, okay, let's try to maybe switch the lines, you know, get healthy, get all the bodies in, and let's go. But if you're thinking, let's forget this year. We're still building towards where we want to be. But last year, they were so close. They were 96 mm-hmm. points. 96 made the playoff. They just didn't tiebreaker, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if you're looking at the years to come, I'm going to say, and maybe we can ask Darren Dreger about this when he joins us at the bottom mm-hmm. of the hour, mm-hmm. Rasmus Anderson.
Hey, you're stealing UFA. My notes. That's all I wanted to talk about with Dreger.
But you're not trading him this year if you want to make a push because he helps you defensively and offensively a little bit. But if you're saying, let's forget about it, we're going to maybe get some picks, some prospects, maybe flip that and get somebody in the offseason, then I think Rasmus Anderson is number one on the list.
Right. And obviously they are missing Huberdeau. That yeah. does not help their cause. Adding to the long list of teams who are without at worst, a top six, if not a top line player. Right.
Yeah. And Jonathan Huberdeau, despite the fact that he may never return to what he was with the Florida Panthers, 100 points and everything, mm-hmm. he's still a really good player. But, you know, you go into the season now where you ended up beating the Edmonton Oilers in a shootout 4-3, but that's because Stuart Skinner gave you a goal to make it 3-3. You got a couple of lucky bounces, mm-hmm. and then you scored four against Vancouver. That was a 5-1 Vancouver win.
Right.
You only scored two against St. Louis, two against Vegas, and one against Utah. The offense is where it was last year, and that's a problem for Calgary.
Right, and in these low-scoring games, they've had some leads disappear, which is, and that's not on goaltending, obviously. Wolf's been pretty good, and Cooley was good last night. He stopped 29. There was an empty netter for Utah that sealed it in a 3-1 win. Tonight, amidst the 11 games, there are six teams that do not have a loss in regulation time. Seattle, Colorado, Edmonton, Carolina, Dallas, and Vegas.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.